Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Is in you and what he's done for you. Can you say amen? And it's a different kind of confidence because there's none of you involved in it. It's all about him, like the song said. So I want to speak to you this morning about Christ in you. A mystery understood that constitutes the true riches of the Christian faith. I want to just stop here and say one thing, and I hope it doesn't take me too far off course today, because it's part of this message. And I believe as I prepare to preach this morning, it's looming higher and higher on the list of what's vital and important about this message. Amen. Because it was just kind of a postscript, the richest part of it. The Christ in you part seemed to be what I, you know, felt the Spirit urging me and prompting me to talk about this morning. But I want to just tell you to watch for true riches while we talk about all the benefits and blessings of having Jesus come to live within your heart. Can you say amen? You know, it's almost Sunday school level teaching to talk about Jesus coming to live in your heart. How many people here are Christian this morning? Not to put anyone on the spot, but just how many people know Christ as your Savior? How many have a clear understanding of at least this fundamental truth that when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, he came to indwell your heart and your life? Amen. I love what he says to the church, in fact, of Laodicea. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him and him with me. I'll come into his life. I'll come into his heart. I will come in for a rich, rewarding fellowship relationship with him." Can you say amen? Folks, that's why so many people come to church and then go back to the world for fulfillment. And they're so easily tempted and led away is because they haven't found that rich and fulfilling fellowship in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he wants you to know it, and he wants me to know it. I look at people today that if you could see you as I see you after the song service is over, and you really don't realize I'm looking at you, you think I'm so lost in preaching I can't see you. But you're wrong about that. I can see you very, very well. I can see you a lot better than when I preached in Haiti, because in Haiti there was in excess of 10,000 people that came to a meeting there where I was privileged to share in testimony, and you know how I testify. It's preaching, let's face it. It's just a sermon. And you know, you look at a sea of faces, and when you're on a platform separated at nighttime with the generated lights, which are not all that bright anyway, and a sea of faces that just gets lost after you into the dark. It's incredible. You can't really distinguish the countenance of any individual because there's just a sea of faces. Somebody said, "Brother Venable, was it unnerving, or did you get nervous preaching to over 10,000 people?" And I thought, no. What makes me what is unnerving is preaching to 30 when I'm about 10 feet away from them, and you can see everybody's countenance. Amen. Your countenance says something about you. Amen. The eyes of him that is joyful rejoices the heart of others. You ever seen a happy person and you knew they were happy just by looking at them? Amen. Have you ever seen some people that their face kind of contradicts what they're saying? You know, like, "You need Jesus. He can fulfill every need of your life." And I'm saying, whoa, wait just a minute. You know, cheer up a little bit. Lighten up a little bit. Amen. God wants his people to share the glory of his presence, to have an intimate personal relationship. Amen. There's all kinds of ramifications of having Jesus in you. But I want to touch on a few of them this morning. Because it means that you have a privilege and a power that is beyond anything that I'm going to be able to tell you. I'm going to touch on it. God's going to have to take something and make it more real in your heart and in your life. But I want you to know that you are a privileged people sitting here today. You may not be anything to anybody else. You may not. We went to a funeral that for my brother-in-law, and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, they didn't have any money to bury him. He had no life insurance policy, and the boss lady decided to foot the bill for his funeral. And I will not be sent off like that, I'll tell you. And probably you won't either, because there were 7 stretch limos. And there was about a 27-car entourage. Now, you know, that's quite a send-off. I mean, you know, when you see 7 stretch limos, you think somebody of some importance. is around. Well, I doubt that I'm going to have 7 limos. I told my wife it'll probably be my dad's old Cadillac. I hope not, because it's old. It's very, very old and on its last leg. Amen. If people are working and it's on a weekday, I doubt that a whole bunch of people are going to get off to be there. It's not going to be such a big deal. Amen. Certainly, amen, it's not going to be something that ties up traffic very long. Amen. When they pass by to take me away. But I am a rich man this morning. I'm a man that is to be envied if you understand what it means to have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And I want to just talk to you about something that's Sunday school level when you first start out, but it goes far beyond Sunday school level this morning. Amen. Jesus dwells in your life. Jesus dwells in your heart. And Paul said that is the down payment on heaven. That is the very hope of glory. Amen. No one has a hope of going to heaven unless Christ comes to live within you. To be without the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says, is to be none of His. You don't get this by just going to church. You get it by having Christ to come into your heart and live on the inside of you. And it's a mystery when understood that constitutes the true riches. Say it with me. True riches of the Christian faith. Now, there are tangent areas, extreme areas of Christianity that would have you think that the true riches is all that God can give you in this world. And God is blessing us, and I believe He's blessing you and going to bless you materially. I thank God for the money to pay my light bill. Amen. We found out during a hurricane, not because they pulled our meter, but some of you have had that happen. Amen. How many know you don't miss your water till your well runs dry? Literally. And you don't miss your electricity till they turn it off. But I'm going to tell you something. I miss my electricity. Amen. I got a new appreciation for flipping a light on or punching that microwave. Can you say amen? Flipping on that television or that CD player. Flipping on my computer so I can study. I'm spoiled rotten. I don't want to pull out 18 big old thick books and squint at it through my bespeckled eyes. Amen. I want to pull it up on a 17-inch screen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to do it instantly because I have to condense and compress my study time, but I love it. Thank God for electricity. Amen. Thank God for all the things we take for granted. Thank God for His provision for us. Thank God for food and raiment. Amen. So one of the gatherers of statistics said, if you have $20, $30 in your pocket and to spend on whatever you want to, you're in the top 10% of people in the world. You're in about 10 to 15% of the people of the world have that in their pocket to do what they want with. The other 85% in our world do not. You are extraordinarily blessed today if you get out of your car and go into Wally World, and that's code for Walmart, can you say amen, with $30 in your pocket to spend as you want to. You can do pretty good in Wally World. Birdines, I don't know. You better take some plastic to Birdines, can you say amen? But you can do pretty good in Walmart with $30. And we see ourselves many times when we look at things like the Trump Towers they're going to build, 52 stories tall. The bottom, economy apartment in Trump Towers in Tampa will start at $700,000. The top one will be $5 million. So you're going to, anybody who gives an address of Trump Towers is not just going to have a nice place to live. They're going to have an address that says, I am somebody. I have arrived. It's going to be more of a status symbol to live in that place than it is anything else. I guarantee you I could build something on an acre far better than you're going to be able to buy for the money. But it's the Trump and it's the tower, amen, and it's being able to say, just send it to 5217 Trump Towers. Amen. There's a pride in that. That's the world's value system. And there's even a tangent area of Christianity. It's really not a tangent. It's become almost mainstream now. That's equating godliness with gain. That the greatest thing God can do for you is just make you opulent and rich in this world so you can live in a Trump Tower existence. But Paul talked to a persecuted church that had sacrificed everything, even to the point of many laying down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first century. And he looked out at that church, and he talked to them about being rich. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he defined to them clearly what represented true riches in the Christian faith. And I believe we need that defined to us clearly in the 21st century when materialism, amen, seems to be the greatest temptation of the enemy to pull us away. And I won't mind telling you, I love God's blessings. God gives me clothes to wear, good food to eat, good shelter. Amen. And I enjoy blessings. If you buy me a new car, I am not too humble to drive it. So if God moves on you, that'll be fine. Can you say amen? But I'm driving a pretty good ride out there. It doesn't say I have arrived, but it does say I'm going to get there without breaking down. Can you say amen? And that's good enough for me. I like my ride. Praise God. I don't need a status symbol. I don't need to drive to church. Oh, by the way, I should put this on here because nobody can see our church or how many people's here or me or it knows anything about it. Amen. But there was a family in church that got me Hummer for Christmas. They did. Yeah, there's an aftershave now called Hummer. And I, praise God, I just can't see driving to church in a Hummer, personally. I can't grasp that. I the only reason I should drive up in a Hummer is to say to you, hey, look at my Hummer. Can you say amen? Because there's no outback on this road. Amen. There's no bad terrain. It's paved highway all the way here. I really don't even need a 4x4 to get here. My two-wheel drive will pull that little hill out here. I really, without straining. Praise God. I don't need a Rolex to say I've arrived. I'm a Christian. I don't have to have the material things. Listen, God will bless his people. I do not believe he's at all interested in a $25,000 chandelier hanging in the foyer of your house with so many people hungry and needy in the world about us. I don't think that's exactly what he had in mind when he sent his son here to be a contradiction to everything that man says is important. Where is Jesus born? The most prominent city? No, he's born in a little city, an obscure city, the least, in fact, of the cities of Judah. Out of thee, Bethlehem, amen, Euphrates, city of bread, shall he come. Though thou art least among the cities of Judah, out of thee shall he come. Can you say amen? Isn't that tremendous how God is setting a pattern here about true riches? Out of thee shall he come that shall be ruler of all the nations. He grew up in a little area. We had a church in Sulphur Springs, and people would hear a tape and ask where the church was. And everything was going fine until I told them where the church was. Anybody ever live in Sulphur Springs? I lived for years. Some of you still do. How many know where Sulphur Springs is? How many know it's not a gated community? Can you say? We were there for 25 years, and I would tell people, a lady called me or left her phone number because a guy at work had given her a tape, and she and her husband wanted to come visit, and we were having this wonderful discussion about the things of God and some of the things that we talked about on the tape, and she said, you know, we're from Kentucky too, and we knew you were born in Kentucky, and we heard that tape, and we would just love to come visit you some Sunday. And I said, ma'am, we would just love to have you come and visit us some Sunday. And she said, well, can you give me directions to your church? I said, I certainly can. Everything was going so good. I said, you come down Nebraska Avenue. If you're coming from the south, amen, it's just before you get to the Hillsborough River headed north. If you're coming from the north, it's right after you cross the Hillsborough River. I said, it's in the Sulphur Springs area of Tampa, just off of Nebraska Avenue, you know. And suddenly there's this quiet on the other side. This real quiet on the other. She said, that's down there near the Tampa Dog Trail, yeah, just off of Nebraska. I said, that's right. And then there's a kind of a chill comes over there, and she says, well, you know, we'll try to get by there sometime. And I knew I'd never see those folks. Because if you're looking for a status symbol church in a safe, secure little part of town where you can come in without worrying about your hubcaps, can you say, you just didn't want to come to the Holy Church of God. But people did come, and lives were changed, and God did sustain us. Amen. Listen, I talked to people of prominent churches in better parts of town that had more break-ins than we did because the angels did a good job. And even when they allowed a little something to happen, it was a little something. One time they took a monitor that was just sitting there taking up space that we just hadn't take time to throw away. And it was so good to tell the police, they took the old monitor. Hallelujah. that all it did was buzz and didn't work good anymore. They took an old well, they did take the alarm system. I don't know what in the world burglars want with the alarms. They took the whole alarm system off the wall that's supposed to go off when they come in. They took it with them too. I guess living in that community, you wanted an alarm system to keep from being robbed. The robbers didn't want to get robbed. Amen? It's an incredible experience. But God was with us, and He is with us. And we didn't move out because we couldn't take the heat. We stayed there when everybody else moved out. Praise God. And God was good, and God was gracious, and God sustained us, and nobody got hurt. And if you lost your car, you got it back pretty quick, didn't you? Did her? Isn't that right? They took you in Gerald's car. But you know that sucker was almost out of gas, wasn't it? They they drove about 2 blocks and the thing quit on them. The cops didn't have to go far to find it. Come to church by faith on fumes. Hallelujah. God was good. Nobody got hurt in our dimly lit parking lot. Amen. In one of the highest crime areas in the city of Tampa. Because God did indeed give His angels charge over us. I walked out of church at 10 o'clock at night many nights carrying a little briefcase to my special pastor's parking space reserved for the pastor by the dumpster in back. Because everybody in the community used our dumpster. And it wasn't nothing to walk out there and somebody caught fish down in the river. And honey, there's nothing like a 95-degree day in Florida with fish heads in your dumpster. I'll tell you, I'd get out of the car and say, help me, Jesus. No. I mean, all the cologne in the world. I just didn't want to get that smell on me before I got in. Leave my windows up. Pray the air keeps working. Praise God. Flies and fish heads. But we had church on Sunday morning. And God came down in that humble setting and in that place. Amen. And He took care of us for 25 long years. And we showed the devil something. Praise God. That you can. I like what Brother Hodges used to say. And I felt like that way. He said, if you're a real believer, if your trust is really in Jesus Christ, you can live in a duplex with the devil a half a block from hell and keep the victory. Hallelujah. We kept the victory. And the devil didn't do what he wanted to do to disrupt those services. Amen. Or distract us from what God had called us to do. And when we left there, we left a witness that a door was open to a community. And I personally was able to lead some in that community to Jesus. And they were worth the stay and the fight. Can you say amen? We got another community right out here and in this surrounding area that God has sent us to. It's not as intimidating as the other community was. But after a while, amen, you understand that wherever God sends you, because He sends you, He's with you, and His blessing is upon it. There's no way the enemy is going to win the battle to stop a ministry that God has anointed and God has ordained. I do not expect to ever be great in the eyes of men for preaching for 25 years in Suffering Springs. Amen. To people that no one else would even attempt to try to reach hardly. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. When we get to heaven, when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, we're going to understand why God set us in that place. He's a good and gracious God. Amen. And He will not send a low-quality ministry to people that, can't do very much in return and send the high-quality preachers to people that can do a lot in return. He doesn't do that. God is different than man. He judges different. He's a God of equity. Amen. Hallelujah. And He's no respecter of persons. He loves all of us just like there was one of us. Hallelujah. Somebody told me one time, you shouldn't be preaching in this little church. You should be preaching, appealing to my ego. Amen. And it was a blessing to hear that someone thought that, you know, there was a quality ministry here. But listen, there's no place that God says you're too small for anything very good. Because there's nothing too small for God to use. Even a poor boy's lunch offered in faith can feed a multitude when God blesses it. And we've been a poor boys lunch church for all of these 31 years, but God has broke it and God has blessed it and God has used it. And that's the glory. When we get home, we'll find out what it's meant to Him and to the people who've been touched through the years. Christ in you. Let me get back to this subject. And true riches. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like the paraphrase of that in the TLB. It says, for it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. Two, for this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share his glory. Can you say amen? The reason that you have the hope of heaven, the sure hope of heaven, is because the greatest persons of heaven. Listen, heaven is not holy because there's golden streets there. Heaven is not holy because there are gates of pearl. Heaven is not holy because it's a city built on foundations of precious stones. Heaven is not holy because there's a river of life flowing in that place, or trees of life for the healing of the nations. None of these supernatural, wonderful blessings and benefits make heaven holy. You know what makes heaven holy? The same thing that made the mountain that Moses saw the burning bush on holy. Can you say amen? And the mountain that God came down on in the Old Testament holy. Amen. It wasn't the wealth and riches and beauty and even the purity of heaven. It's the persons of heaven that make it holy. It's God's presence on a burning bush that causes a man to take off his shoes in reverence and say, I will turn aside and see this thing and bow and worship. Can you say amen? It's God's presence that shook Sinai, that caused Israel to tremble in fear at the holiness of God when he touched that mountain. And the moment he touched the top of that mountain, the base of that mountain was so sanctified that even if an animal touched the base of it, he was to be thrust through with a spear because he touched the holy thing. And he couldn't approach a holy God. And here, you and me, with all of our hang-ups and all of our problems and all of our fundamental falls according to fallen flesh, God has saved you and so sanctify you through the blood of Jesus that God and that Christ, this God that dwells in unapproachable light, can come into your heart and live in you. And Paul used a wonderful logic. And he said, a holy logic. And you know what he said? He said, if Christ can live in you, then you have the sure hope of heaven. Because it's Christ, and it's God, and it's the Holy Spirit that makes heaven holy. And if the holy persons of heaven can live in you, then it just stands to reason that you can live in the city. Can you say amen? If your body has become the temple for God, then you can live in the New Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Doesn't that make sense to you? Paul used holy logic so many times. He said, if God loved us enough to give his only begotten son, how will he not with him also freely give you all things? If he hadn't withheld heaven's best, what else would he withhold from you? God is a generous, benevolent, giving God, and he proved it when he gave his son for you. Not after you became a Christian, amen, but while you were yet sinners, Jesus died for you. That is a loving, generous, gracious, giving God. Can you say amen? I want to declare unto you that on the authority of Scripture, if you're a Christian, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. You were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace. But you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You're a new creation according to the Word of God. You're the residents of a new kingdom. You're the spiritual heir of untold riches. You are part of a royal family. You are set apart for a divine purpose. That's called sanctification. It's not just how you wear your hair. It goes beyond that. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. To the world, you're a mystery wrapped in an enigma. You know, have you heard that term? Have you ever heard that about somebody talking? You've never heard that? Well, you're hearing it today. By the way, it's not a newfangled term. I believe it was Sir Winston Churchill, when he was talking about Soviet Russia and their history of ups and downs and in and outs and revolutions, he said this is a riddle in a mystery wrapped in an enigma. You know what an enigma is? One that is puzzling, ambiguous, or inexplicable. In plain language to the world, we are strange people. Can you say amen? I'm kind of getting used to it. Are you getting used to it? Of not being understood as a Christian? Of not being appreciated as a Christian? A world that doesn't see what you are so excited about. Amen. A world that doesn't understand why you shout. And now there's some Christians, they don't have to figure that out because it just don't happen. But if anybody gets excited, listen, it's what day is this to the world? What is the world excited about today? What was everybody at work excited about last night? What Sunday is this? Is this Sunday go to meeting Sunday or is this Super Bowl Sunday? It's Super Bowl Sunday. I saw people excited last night. I don't know who they're rooting for, but if their team makes a touchdown, they're going to holler. And it's going to be okay. And no one is going to say, you're too emotional for jumping off the couch, spilling your pork rinds, and hollering. Can you say amen? No one's gonna say, what's wrong with you? You're too emotional about football. You went off the deep end. You're just fanatical about it. What's wrong with you? You shouldn't be that emotional about football. I know it's wonderful, and I know that you root for the home team. I know you this, that, and the other, but you shouldn't get all emotional about it. Can you say? No one's gonna suppress emotion for football. Church is where you suppress emotion. This is where you can't say hallelujah because somebody says, whoa, it's one of those kind of churches. Can you say amen? Those kind of people. Listen, by the way, if you're a Pentecostal and you've lost your hallelujah, you need to get your hallelujah back. You already got the reputation. They already look at you like you're weird. Can you say amen? If anybody's got a reason to jump and shout and holler, it's me this morning. Praise God. Because what I'm talking about is not going to last through a football season and then it's over with. Amen. It's going to last throughout all eternity. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the down payment on heaven. That's God's judicial answer to your sin. It's forgiven. It's been adjudicated. Amen. You're acquitted. And now Christ can live in that heart that was so sullied with sin. Isn't that incredible? A.W. Tozer got to the heart of this mystery when he wrote that Christians are crazy to the world. In a book called The Roots of Righteousness, let me tell you what Tozer said, this great preacher. He got to the heart of the mystery. He said a real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he's wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strong when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so that he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. To the world, you're a strange duck. Look over at somebody and say, I knew there was something about you. Can you say amen? The Apostle Paul talks about a mystery. He said that Christ is God's mystery in Colossians 2:2. I won't go here for time's sake. The good news is that we share with the world the mystery of Christ. That's what we've been sent to do, to tell them that Jesus can forgive every sin. He can come to live within your heart. And Christ in you will become the hope of glory. We're not just telling about going to heaven and escaping hell. We're telling that Jesus can come live within them. So this is not just a passport to heaven. Amen. This is a life that is lived more abundantly because of his presence within. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you what? Life. And to give it to you in what way? More abundantly. That means that we don't live in emptiness here in order to gain heaven there. We live in fullness here, and we live in heaven forever. On top of that, hallelujah. Amen? Paul uses the word mystery not as we do in our day, but in the context of his day and age. The word mystery in Scripture is a secret, a truth, undiscoverable, except by divine revelation. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're Elijah, amen, reincarnated or come back or whatever, for some reason, you're back, he's back. He said, well, who do you say that I am? They speculated, they surmised, but who do you say that I am? And here's this fisherman with no background in theology. And what does he say? He speaks with absolute authority and certainty. He didn't even realize at the moment where he got that from. Isn't that incredible? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He didn't say, "I think you're this." Now, you may be that. I'm not one to really analyze all this, but in my opinion, he just spoke out and blurted out like his impetuous character and nature and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus turned to him saying, "Yeah, and you're Peter. And upon this flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Can you say, man? How many know Jesus as your Savior? You didn't get that by being persuaded by a preacher that He is the true God and He is the true Savior. You got it because the Father revealed it by the Holy Spirit. You're a people of revelation. It's a fact that cannot be understood in detail without divine help. That's why I depend on the Holy Ghost to do the work in the heart. I can only preach, and I can only preach to the head. But the Holy Ghost can go past your head and get into your heart and make it real and alive in your heart. And that's when the seed takes root, when it gets in the heart. Amen? That's why I don't worry about eloquence. I don't mind being corrected about pronouncing a word wrong as long as you understand it. So I'm not worried about pronunciation this morning. I've got too much humiliation to worry about pronunciation. And that's for your head. But what God wants to do is drop something in your heart. Paul said, you want to know the glory of the mystery that brings the greatest hope and the greatest riches of the Christian faith? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If something has happened on the cross to cause you to be so cleansed from your sin that Jesus Christ can come and live within your heart, amen, then you are the richest person on the planet Earth. Can you say amen? There's nobody like you are. It was a truth that was hidden in the counsels of God down through the ages and generation until God in His grace chose to make it known to us by divine revelation. It was concealed from angels and men until God revealed it. Isn't that incredible? Angels desired to look into these things and couldn't. But now the mystery's unveiled. It's unveiled. And God wants us to take this unveiled mystery and declare it to a world. Amen? And to show them the joy of it and the reality of it. Colossians 4, 1 through 3 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Paul said, my gospel is an unveiling of the mystery of Christ. How that an unsaved man, an unholy man, a person that deserves nothing but hell and damnation can come and be saved. And God's kingdom can come within him. And God's King and Savior can come and live within him. And Christ can come and live within that life and indwell that individual because of the power and the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus. Listen, this is not a progressive thing. There is progressive sanctification for your outer man, but your inward man is so cleansed that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit can immediately take up residence within. There's nothing progressive about that. It's done. And God said to work out. The Scripture said work out. That's already done within. God said work out your own salvation. That means doesn't mean try to save yourself. It means let that finished work within begin to be expressed without. Live for Him. Serve Him. Love Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Live a sanctified life because you're a sanctified person. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Live up to your calling. Live up to who you are. Don't try to become that. Live that out because you are that. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, every time I preach the gospel, I'm declaring this mystery that Jesus can come and live within that kind of heart. As Spurgeon noted, "Oh, the riches of the grace of God, which it has pleased the Father to impart to us in Christ Jesus. Christ is the mystery, the riches, and the glory." He is all this. He is all this among us poor Gentiles. And when we were made heirs of God, all things are ours in Christ, our Lord. And then he says the essence of the mystery of Christ himself in his person. It is Christ in all his glorious riches, actually dwelling through the Holy Spirit in our inner lives. It's Christ in you, which is everything. It's Christ in you, which hinges all your hope of heaven. It's Christ in you. Can you say amen? A.T. Robertson, another writer noted, I like what he says. It says, yes, Christians are different, but it's encouraging to know we're in good company. Amen? Didn't Peter call us pilgrims and strangers in the world? Amen? Can you imagine Christ and all his glorious riches actually dwelling through his Spirit in our lives right now? Right now? Right at this very moment? You may have drifted away from God. You may have had a week that heaven seemed brass and you feel half-baked. Amen? But right now, if you're a Christian, Christ indwells you. And if you need strength, you know where to get it, don't you? You don't have to just cry out to heaven for God to reach down, because Christ lives where? In closer proximity than a throne in heaven to you. Christ lives in you. And by virtue of being in you, he is with you always. It's not something he has to decide, a promise he has to decide to keep. He's decided to keep it by coming in you. Amen? You say, well, I don't feel him. Well, he's not on your skin. Can you say amen? We got poison oak out here. Some of you guys that cleaned up around here got into the poison oak. Believe me, you felt it on your skin. Poison ivy, Lord, will make you itch. Can you say amen? It was ugly stuff on the skin. So many people have this kind of skin-deep experience with God. We don't even know he's around until we feel him on our skin. If you're not a Pentecostal, you don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I feel the presence of God and the hair stands up on my arms. Sometimes I feel the presence of God and I get goose pimples. It's not a bad chill. It's just a warm feeling with goose pimples. Go figure. It still happens. It's supernatural. Supernatural things can give you goosers. Can you say amen? Angels can make you fall like a dead man on your face and shake and tremble all over. Amen. And sometimes angels are in the room and we sense the presence. And everybody say, dun, 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 dun. There they go again. Listen, angels are real. Angels are here. Christ is here. But he's not just in the house, brother and sister. He lives in the temple. He lives and indwells you and me. And it's Christ's presence within that gives us the hope of glory. Wow. I've sensed God many times, but it's so good to know that he's no less God when I don't sense him. I felt the presence of God so many times, and I preach that we should practice entering into that presence, for in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. In his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But we've got to accept the word and the word's testimony on where Jesus is in proximity to us. He's not hiding his face from us. Even if we have a failure, he wants to be there to pick us up and restore us if we truly repent. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he comes in just like the Holy Spirit to abide forever. Hallelujah. A.T. Robertson said, this dwelling of Christ in you is the central fact of Christianity and so constitutes the hope of glory. I'm going to run through seven things real quick. And if I take 2 minutes for the seven, it would take 14 minutes. If I do it in a minute, it'll only take 7 minutes. If I spend 5 minutes, it's 35. 10 minutes, Lord help us. Amen. Christ in you means you belong to him, justified and accepted in the beloved. The reason we can be sealed by the Holy Spirit, which means marked or branded for God as God's own until the day of redemption, is because something has happened that so sanctified us that Jesus could come and live within our heart. It doesn't start with being sealed by the Spirit. It starts with Jesus coming in. Can you say amen? Sealed with the Spirit happens after Christ comes in. Christ in you, accepted by faith alone, means you are Christ-possessed. You belong to him. You know what the Bible calls you? His purchased possession. Isn't that something? That's why he is so jealous over you. He purchased you with his blood, and you belong to him. And from the moment you become a Christian, he speaks of you possessively. God speaks of you as his people, and you're able to speak of him, therefore, as your God. Who has a God like who? Our God, not just the God or a God, but my God and our God. And he speaks of you the same way. When Christ is in you, the law has nothing more to say to you. It can no longer condemn you because God has declared you acquitted. You've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to Him now. Christ in you means that you can know Him intimately. That's where a lot of churchgoers that just got religion stop short, and that's why they're so easily pulled back into the world, because they never build a relationship with Him that's fulfilling. Amen. Let me tell you something. If Christ fulfills you, and you really taste the power of the world by to come through fellowship with Jesus, not just through an experience where the Holy Ghost comes on you, but the person you have a relationship with. There's a difference in power and a person. You don't love power, but you can fall in love with a person. And the Holy Ghost came to reveal a person to you that you could love and be fulfilled by. 1 John says, truly our koinonia, our fellowship, communion, interchangeable word, always speaking of intimate knowledge of another person. Hallelujah. It said, for truly our fellowship, our koinonia is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's a relationship with God. That's fulfilling. And you don't have to go out and cheapen yourself and try to find somebody to make you feel wanted and fulfilled. You have it in Jesus if you have the right relationship. I need my wife to hug me. I need a kiss now and then. My wife tells everything. It's because she's had a bad cold or I've had a bad cold. It's not because I'm not a hunk. And it's not because she's not still a vixen. Anyway, moving right along. Why, after church, we'll probably go to Mickey D's. And I'm going to tell him to supersize everything. And nothing's too good for my fox. Amen. What I'm saying to you is I don't need to look outside my wife for a relationship to make me feel fulfilled. If I wasn't married, I wouldn't need to have someone make me feel wanted, make me feel good, and be tempted to sin to get to that end. Because Jesus offers us intimacy. If any man opened the door, He said, I'll save his soul. I'll write his name in heaven. And you just push through this world the best you can. When you get to heaven, it'll be okay. No, He said, if any man open the door, I will come in. And listen to this. I will sup with him. And every you have a relationship with one another. Can you say amen? This is not at McDonald's in a crowded table with music playing to get you hurried out so someone else can have your table. This is not fast food. This is a meal that's going to take eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We'll never get finished this wonderful, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something about the marriage supper. A little P.S. we'll throw in as we get down through this thing. Amen. The marriage supper is such a joyous event. We won't want it to end. Well, the scholars of Scripture say that they don't believe it will end. The way they look at that marriage supper of the Lamb and the bliss of it, that we will be celebrating this marriage with the Lamb throughout all eternity. The celebration that begins at the marriage supper is an ongoing thing. And the joy and the bliss of that marriage supper will be sustained throughout eternity. No wonder we're going to have glorified bodies. Can you say, man? Glory to that degree would kill us all. Amen. But God is going to give us a body like unto His glorious body, and we're going to have the full force of that glory and be able to stand it for eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what the scholars say about the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not done and over, and then you get your little halo and your harp, and you go sit on a cloud somewhere and strum that sucker throughout all time. That is not what heaven is about. Be a celebration, hallelujah, that never ends. Everybody say, a celebration that never ends. I'm going to celebrate when I see my daughter. Oh, and it's never going to end. I'm going to celebrate, amen, when I see my wife's grandpa, which was my family's pastor for so many years. I'm going to celebrate when I see Mama Hall. I'm going to celebrate when I see Dad and Mom Hodges. I'm going to celebrate, amen, when I see so many people that we've known throughout our ministry. I'm going to celebrate when I see Jesus. Can you say amen? And listen, because all of that is not a fairy tale or a fantasy. I'm going to celebrate on Sunday before I get there. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room. It's either real or it isn't. Christ in you means that you can know Him intimately. It means Christ experienced in all His power. Christ in you fills your life with His holy presence and power, that which the law can never do. Christ does by simply indwelling you. It proves that there is no law of condemnation pointing at you. Because if there was, believe me, He couldn't live in you. Can you say amen? But He does in fact live in you. So when the accuser comes, you've got to remind him Christ lives. What I do, I involve Him in. Amen. It helps me live clean and right. Why? Because there are limits to what I want Jesus to be exposed to. There's things that I'm not above doing, but I don't want to drag Him into some things. My flesh is weak, but I have a strong sense of being set apart for a holy purpose. And it doesn't cramp my style. It sets me free to serve the one that I was created to serve. Hallelujah. And that's God and God alone. And by the way, there's joy in it if you know Him personally. If you just had an altar experience and prayed off conviction, no wonder you can't overcome temptation, because there's something left that is longing in your heart. Jesus wants to get it through our thick heads this morning and get it down into your softened hearts and tell us that I'm in you. I can fulfill you. I can satisfy you. You don't have to go to the world and you don't have to compromise to be totally fulfilled if you have a right relationship with me. He didn't die just to give you heaven over hell. He died to bring you to God. For what? For fellowship, the very thing that was lost in the garden. He came to restore. And every day God came down and walked with His creation. He was not aloof. He did not sit in His high heaven. Hallelujah. Sin created that chasm, but Jesus bridged the gap on the cross. Christ in you means you serve a new master. A new Lord equals a new life. You'll never know the new life until you have a new Lord. Can you say amen? But when Jesus is Lord, it doesn't mean you're a slave. Amen. It means you're free to serve God. You're only a slave in the sense of a deep, intense love that says, I want to be yours for all my life. You're not the slave of sin and not the slave of self anymore. Christ in you is His sovereign rule in your life. It's what it means, the kingdom living in you. It's Christ in you. There's not some mystical kingdom that comes separate from Christ. It's Christ in you that constitutes the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is Christ in you. Well, how do you know that, Brother Venable? Because I know what kingdom means. The rule or the domain of a king. Can you say, man? The king has to come in for the kingdom to come within. Hello? Oh, folks, don't flip out on me this morning. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Jesus or some mystical something philosophy, religious philosophy, or some revelation of some individual that wrote a book this thick that's on the top shelf of a Christian bookstore. It's right there in the holy book, the Bible. By the way, that ought to be the top shelf book in your heart and life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? It's not embellishing spiritual things to where there's no practical good. It's just realizing Jesus is my Lord now. He's come to live within my life. He rules supreme in my heart. He sits upon the throne of my life. And when He comes, the kingdom comes. Because wherever He has dominion, there is His kingdom. Can you say amen? Christ in you means you can know Him intimately. It means you serve a new Lord. Therefore, you have a new life. Christ in you and His power, bringing every thought into captivity to Himself. Christ in you means imperial sovereignty of Jesus over your life. We find our freedom in being in submission to His sovereign hand over our life. There's nothing like serving God. Amen. You get free from guilt. Boy, the guilt trip is a hard thing to bear. It's so good to stand here and not feel guilty today. And that don't mean because I'm sinlessly perfect. It means when I stub my toe, I run to God and I say, Lord, forgive me. And He does. And I'm free from guilt. And that's a great feeling. Free from the lust of the flesh that would cause me to sin. When I bow to Jesus over top of my own flesh, there's a freedom in that. I don't have to do something that's going to jeopardize my family. I don't have to do something that's going to jeopardize my testimony. I don't have to do something that's going to harm my body. I feel great today, amen, to be free of the things that had me bound, things that were hurting me. God's commandments, amen, His lordship doesn't mean putting us in a box. It means letting us out of a prison. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who the Son sets free is what? Some kind of wound up, bound up, flaky Christian that never has any fun. That's baloney. You don't know what fun. And I hate to admit it, but I've done that. And this is far better without compare. Hallelujah. And not a, oh, Brother Vimba, you don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something, honey. You don't know what I've done either. You mean you done that? Oh, you probably never did this. I've done enough. To know the difference in that life and this life. And I am not tempted by that life. Hula, of course, because I'm living in the fullness of this life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when the devil says, fall down and worship me to Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. Amen. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. My Father's kingdom is not of this world. You can't tempt me with a falling, fading, transient world. I shall worship no other gods and I won't do it. Why? Because we've found another king and another kingdom. Because Christ lives in us, we can become. Amen. Isn't that incredible that people like you and I can begin to demonstrate and bring forth fruit of His character in our life? Fruit of the Spirit's nothing more than bringing forth the nature and the character of Christ. Amen. It's not foreign to Jesus, separate from Jesus. It is Jesus living His life through you and living His life through me. Christ, I've been praying that. That scripture that we preached here not too long ago, isn't it good to know that the pastor listens to and applies to, even struggles with these things, but God is good and helps us with them. I've been praying every day in the car before I get out to go into that workplace. I've been praying, Lord, let Your fragrance of You go into every place I go. And I can hear Him echoing back to me, then let me live through You. Let my character come forth when you're offended, when you're put down, when you're abused, when you're used, when someone says something wrong to you and you rise up, suppress that and let me deal with it the way I want to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. So in order for that fragrance to go anywhere, I've got to die to me, but I've got to live to Him. And sometimes I do it well, and sometimes not so well. But when it happens well, I feel so victorious. Hell, my tongue. Can you say amen? You almost want to reach up and grab it. Praise God. But if you can just hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles, I guarantee you, victory's good. That's not a cute little song that we used to sing. Victory will be yours. Christ in you means His filling you with His presence. Christ in you transforms your person till we become more like Him. When Jesus enters our lives, we yield to His presence. He transforms, elevates us to His likeness. The Apostle Paul declared, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Can you say amen? When He enters our life, He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for His glory. It's no more I that live, but what? Christ lives in me. He came in me, and therefore He can live through me, praise God. And when I bow to Him, I don't live anymore, but He lives in me. For me to live, He said, is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Because Christ lives in us, By the way, this is 5 of 7. We're almost through. Christ lives in us. We have the assurance. We are assured of victory. Christ in you is not just the hope of glory. It is the absolute assurance of victory. Amen. I can do all things, Paul said, through what? I can do all things, which means, Pentecostals see I can do, they think of spiritual gifts. First thing that comes to their mind is supernatural spiritual abilities through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, through the gifts of the Spirit. This is not about the gifts of the Spirit. This is about the grace of God. Can you say amen? The word I can do all things means I am equal to anything. And he's talking about all the persecutions, all the things that would befall him for the testimony of Jesus. He said, I can bear up and I can rise up and I can overcome. Amen. But I can only do it one way. Amen. I can do all things. I am equal to anything through Christ, which strengthens me. Can you say amen? Christ in you means there is a base of operation for the kingdom of God within your life where the Holy Spirit himself, because of Christ living within you and the kingdom having dominion within you, that he can give you supernatural. Could ever be used because it can't touch the power of God. It is not spiritual TNT. I know it comes from the word dunamis, which we get dynamo, but a dynamo driven by mighty waters at a great dam producing electricity in no way compares, amen, to the power of God. It literally, spiritually, simply means supernatural, miraculous power and ability. It means that whatever God wants to accomplish in us and through us, he can do it through his own supernatural ability. Ability within us, not our strength, but his. And Paul said, what I can't take and could never face and could never overcome, I can through Christ who strengthens me with this kind of dunamis. Amen? Christ in me and you means his power in us. We were without spiritual strength till he came into our lives. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now our spiritual victory is guaranteed. He that's within you is greater than he that is in the world. And that's why we can win this battle. Such a formidable foe, the enemy. Can you say amen? He that's where? He that's where in heaven reaching down to us? No, he that's living in us, hallelujah, is greater than who? He that's in the world that is against us. There's more with us than there is with him and them. Christ in us is the true riches, spiritual blessings that far surpass the transient riches of a fallen world. You want to know the real riches of the world's people that know Jesus. There's a man that feels rich this morning in South Africa. He's a pastor. He will get on his new Schwinn, which is his Cadillac, his Lexus. Can you say, man, he feels so blessed to have that new Schwinn that a missionary has sent to him to ride the 10 or 15 miles to preach. Amen. And he'll get on that bike this morning. He'll ride those miles and he'll preach the gospel of Jesus in those villages. Amen. As a traveling preacher. And he'll go from village to village and declare Jesus. And he will tell you up front, I am a rich man. Can you say, man, he has rice and beans to eat tonight. I'm going to tell you something about rice and beans. Especially this time of day with the church crowd. Can you say, man? There's nothing wrong with that rice and beans. He doesn't have to eat caviar with Donald Trump to feel rich. Can you say, man? Because he has all that is to come is forever. And he knows his name is written in a book called the Book of Life. He has eternal life. He knows he is right now the acknowledged citizen of a city called the New Jerusalem. Can you say, man? He knows that when this body drops, the body he's going to get is going to live forevermore. And he is a rich and wealthy man today. And some of those people in those countries so suppressed economically that have the that appreciate the true riches of Christ can sing with more joy and more fervor than many of us with all that we have that have lost the gratitude. Not for the stuff we have so much, but for the Christ that we have within our heart. When I preached in Haiti, it was my joy to see people with little or nothing so joyous because they had Jesus. It put me to shame. I wanted to crawl away somewhere and say, Lord, forgive me. When I saw them singing the high praises of God. When you had a picture here, I think, at our commemorative service for our 31st anniversary, and it showed me in Haiti with a bunch of those children, and in begin to sing, amen, about Jesus. And they got halfway through the song, and they were not singing for me. They were singing to him. They were not taught to perform like many of our church choirs. They were just taught to love Jesus. And when you see these bush babies that parents have abandoned because they couldn't feed them, I mean, you see on the Animal Planet puppies in a dumpster because people couldn't take care of the puppies, and the animal cruelty people are on their tail, and everybody's saying, oh, the poor little puppies. And I say the same thing because I love animals too, but there's poor little babies in Haiti suffering the same kind of fate, little human beings that are destitute and dying. And when you take them to a mission home, these bush babies, and they get food and they get love and they get a place to sleep and they get people telling them about how much Jesus loves them. And every time the missionary we supported put the food out, he would say, it is our brothers and sisters in America that have set this great meal for us. They are Christians and they love you. And on one Father's Day when I'd had some problems at church and all those things that make you wonder, oh God, you know, am I helping anybody? Is it worth some of the pressures that go along with it? I got a picture that had been taken in a card signed by 150 kids, amen. And it said, all of your children in Haiti wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. And I picked that up, and tears run down my cheeks in my office. And I got a brand new Holy Ghost second wind. And I said, oh Lord, we're feeding the hungry. About Jesus. But when I went to that orphanage to meet them personally, amen, they came out and began to sing, and it wasn't something they practiced to impress me, so we keep sending money. They sang about the one that gave them grace, gave them mercy, and these little kids began to sing, and they began to close their eyes. 7-year-old little girl with her eyes closed, her hands raised. 10-year-old boy with his eyes closed and his hand raised, tears running down their cheeks. And the only thing I could get out of the song was Jesus. French Creole for Jesus. And I knew they were singing not just about Jesus, they were singing to Jesus and thanking Him. And they were filled with gratitude. And I thought, oh Lord, when I sing on Sunday, I want to sing with the same kind of gratitude and the same kind of sincerity, because the same Jesus has come to live within my heart. And I don't want to lose the wonder, hallelujah, of it all. I don't want to lose the awe of it. I don't want to just preach theologically, but personally declare. I want to be like a man when I witness that was dying of thirst in a desert that's found an oasis with beautiful shady palm trees and crystal clear waters, and run out and tell everybody else dying in the desert, here's where you can come and drink. Hallelujah! That's better than a deadpan attitude while handing out a tract. Spiritual blessings that far surpass these things. I just want to read this in near closing. Luke 16:11 in the Amplified Bible said, therefore, if you have been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, which means deceitful riches, money, and possessions, if you haven't been faithful in these natural things, who will entrust you with? And I'm glad this definition and this separation is here. Who will entrust you with what? The true riches. Amen. How many know the church ought to be out proclaiming true riches to a world that is so many times deceived? The Bible said the deceitfulness of riches and other things entering in will choke the word. How can riches deceive? By thinking if I had them, I'd be happy, without finding that happiness first in Jesus. That's a deception. You don't need more money. You need more Jesus. More of Jesus. He said, oh man, I saw a bumper sticker the other day. He said, if you don't think money would make you happy, you don't know where to shop. Can you say amen? Well, I know a few people that have money. And I can tell you, money can buy you musicians that you can hire personally to perform just for you. But money can't and never will buy happiness. And when the party's over and everybody goes home and somebody still has to take one more drink, one more toke, one more shot in the arm, that house, that party, that car that posse, that entourage, all of that junk means nothing. It's junk compared to the fulfillment that Jesus offers. We're not just talking about escaping hell and gaining heaven. We're talking about a life that is rich and fulfilling and rewarding. Hallelujah. A man without Jesus tonight, no matter what else he has, cannot go to sleep fulfilled and happy like I can. That makes me the rich man. And if you don't have that, regardless of what else you've got, you're poor, miserable, and naked. That's what Jesus said to the richest church in town that didn't have him as the center of it. Can you say, man, that supposed that gain was godliness? Poor, miserable, blind, and naked. The church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. He says, if you can't handle money right, the material things right, if you don't have the correct understanding of that, how can God entrust you with true riches? If you can't distinguish what's really important in life, how can God trust you with the gospel of the kingdom? How can you see the worth of a soul if the only thing you can see is mortar and stone and metals? It's essential in effective evangelism to appreciate the awesome, awesome value of the blood of Jesus, the awesome value of eternal life, the indescribable joy of knowing Jesus intimately, the sobering truth that all men will live forever somewhere, the inestimable worth of the human. You know what? Does it mean a bigger house, a bigger car? Or does it mean you're not going to spend eternity in hell, but you're going to spend it in heaven instead? Next time the devil wants to bargain with you, keep that in focus. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to give a few minutes of sexual ecstasy for our soul? We're going to give fleeting fame for our soul? Man was rich beyond his wildest dreams. His barns were bursting forth. He had to build bigger barns to take in the grain. Agricultural wealth was the greatest wealth of that day. And he's planning it. He said, I'm just getting wealthier every single day of my life. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you. But they that would be rich, they that don't understand true riches, will fall into many deceitful sins, hurtful sins, and deceitful snares. Satan says, I got a trap for you, and you're going to fall right in it. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me bigger barns. Riches, there's never enough. You say, if I had a million, that'd be enough. Get it and find out after a while it won't be enough. If I had 10 million, that'd be enough. Get it. You're going to find out it won't be enough. If I had that woman, that man, that'll be enough. Go ahead and get them. Ask the woman at the well. She had five husbands who were shacking up. She said, none of it is enough. Until she met Jesus, who said, I'll give you living water. Can you say, man? She said, now that's enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're still listening to looking for Mr. Goodbar, let me tell you, he'll never be enough. If you're looking for the princess and you're going to smooch her, you know, if you're a frog and if you can just get that gal to kiss you, you're going to become a prince. I've got news for you. You're still going to be a frog till Jesus saves you. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. If you're gonna kiss Sleeping Beauty, and you're gonna get on your white Lexus and go to the castle in New Tampa and live happily ever after, I got news for you. Can you say, man? It ain't gonna work that way. I mean, all those houses, that's not. There's a difference between a house to an SUV hooked to an Escalade in the yard. Amen. That in this gated community, this beautiful house, that all the people inside are so very happy. I got news for you. I know Christians that aren't even happy. Amen. That's why the world is so appealing to them, because the world makes easy pickings, because they've never got deep enough into the Lord. They've never got past the goose pimples and the superficial blessings to understand that Jesus Christ has died on the cross so he could come and live in you. and to appreciate him enough to be broken and melted in his presence and say, not my will, but yours be done for the rest of my life, and find joy in it. Hallelujah! Wow! Boy, if you could see the audience pan like I see, if you could see yourself in your unguarded moments, when that, some people try to convince me, I'm okay! I'm okay! Honey, if you got to convince me of anything, you're not okay. So drop the fronting, spiritually or otherwise. Real. Christian, can you say, man? If you're still lost, get saved. Don't act saved till you get saved. And when you get saved, you won't have to act anymore. If you're unsatisfied in the Lord, seek Him for more. There's more, but you can't get it by walking out of here and just going on with your life and never taking time for Him. Get up in the morning and don't say, good Lord, morning. Say, good morning, Lord, and acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He'll direct your path. Hallelujah. The value of being truly saved. The inestimable worth of a human soul. What price can be put on where you live for eternity? No price in all of the world. I'm going to close this morning. There's a reason for these riches, these true riches. They're ours because we're poor so we could be rich. Because Jesus became sin that we might be set free from sin's power and consequence. He was cursed so that we could be blessed. You that have your mind on other things and other issues, please bring it under control. You that are thinking about other tangent things, you're not going to get this, and Satan will succeed in your life today. You need to get your mind off other people and other issues. God wants you to know something that will cause you to transcend the things that are bugging you and distracting you this morning. Can you say, man, I cannot come in here thinking about all the other things that would break my focus on Jesus Christ. You've got to learn to do that, church. You've got to learn to do it. You're going to miss it if you do not. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit handle the things that bother you. Let the Holy Spirit handle the things that bug you. Amen. In a minute, I'm going to turn everybody in here over to the Holy Ghost. I could take you on my back. In worry and concern, and it's not that I don't care about you, but my care about you won't do a thing for you. I'm going to do without sleep. I'm going to get broken down. It's not going to change you. So at the end of this service, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take this whole congregation, wrap you in a tidy little bundle. And I'm going to have to really flex to do this. But I'm going to take that bundle, and I'm going to carry it over to the foot of the cross. And I'm going to set you right down there. If you've got an old hard head, I don't have to hammer the word into you. God has a ways and means committee. He can, in fact, get your attention. Amen. I don't care how many tattoos you have, lady. Amen. And I don't care, sir, if you're King Kong's brother-in-law. It doesn't matter to me. God knows how to get your attention. Can you say amen? I've been in too many hospitals, and I've seen too many macho men get down to the dying. And I'll tell you, I've heard a lot of things repented of, but I've never heard anyone repent of coming to know Jesus and say, I'm sorry I lived my life for Him. Oh, I'm sorry I missed so many good things in life. No, honey, the greatest treasure you will ever have. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Will you stand to your feet? Let's get ready to worship Him. I'm going to make a call here with every head bowed and every eye closed. I love you. I pray for you. I want you to know Jesus, and I want you to not just know Him at a distance to leave yourself vulnerable to the world. I want you to know Him up close and personal. This is not something for pastors, preachers, prophets, apostles, people that are part of some spiritually elite, super spiritual people. This is the common ground for the children of God, is to walk with Him and to know Him. He wanted fellowship with you from the beginning. He didn't just save you to get you out of hell and to get you into heaven. The just suffered for the unjust to bring you to God, to restore that broken fellowship and that broken relationship. And I'm going to tell you, if we get it right and we fellowship Him in unbroken fellowship, Satan is going to be hard-pressed to find anything or anyone in this world to pull you away from Jesus. Satisfying life in Jesus Christ. So the church has to be more than just where religious people meet on Sunday morning. It has to teach us and help us develop a relationship with the one who came and died to save us. And this morning, we begin by declaring unto you that if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ has come to live in you. Hallelujah. And this is the hope of glory to come, of sharing heaven and eternity with the only one who truly deserves it, and that's Jesus. But yet we're going to be there with Him forever. Hallelujah. Because of what He did on the cross. Is there anyone in this room that would say, Pastor, I don't know Christ is my Savior. I'm not going to front this morning. I need to know Him. I want to know Him. I want the true riches to be mine. Would you lift your hand quickly and take it down? Let God see it. You're here and you want Christ to be your personal. But you want to know Him more intimately and more personally so that you can overcome the enemy in your life that will appeal to your flesh. You want to get closer to Him. May I see your hand today? Let God see that desire in your heart. Thank God for these hands. So many. I want to know Him. Do you believe you can? I want to ask us, do you believe you can know Him more intimately, more personally? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the devil's going to lose this battle, not just because we've made a resolution this new year, a new resolve in our heart, but because we'd simply begin to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone that raised your hand now, let's say a prayer together right where you are. Say it with me if you will, just to set a pattern for it. Lord, I want to know You more. More intimately, more personally, examining all the facets of Your character, especially Your passion, Your sacrifice, Your before we leave.